I think this is a this is something that we could have. We already have.
We could have this.
Should I just tell you?
Should I just tell you? It's 9:30.
We can't.
It is time for Loser Leaves Wrestling. It's time for the podcast. Welcome to Loser Leaves Wrestling.
It's Loser Leaves Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Moa Jazzwall. Or with Woo woo. Okay.
You already said my name. That's
I already said your name. Yeah, I really flubbed the butt. But we're here with the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished watching it. It's not like it ended at a half hour ago. It's like we just ended. And we are here talking about it. This is the best and worst, basically. But Mo, how are you doing? How are you feeling, bud?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. It's always a great day when you watch pro wrestling. How are you tonight, Red Jefferson?
Not as good as you, apparently. Mr. What are you having, brandy?
Listen, it's Evan Williams Kentucky Bourbon.
Okay, the fancy stuff.
Yeah, it's the low shelf.
Low shelf bourbon, though, which is still high-class whiskey. But we're here reviewing AEW, and well, let's just jump right into it. We're going to talk about the woos first, which is the best stuff that happened tonight. Moet, what has topped the list for you tonight?
My man, Kenny Omega and Don Callis running amok in the main event is my favorite thing of the show. They're great. They're a great team. And AEW, first of all, I got to say, AEW has been doing a great job recently of making the main event the most exciting part of the show. I just got to put that out there. They do a really great job, I feel, of formatting their show.
Sure.
Where you have some ups and downs throughout the show, but you always end on a banger. I really appreciate that from them. But yes, the match itself, I think Kenny Omega versus Joey Janela in a no DQ match, I guess, is what the
no DQ eliminator match.
Title eliminator match, which is a very weird way of saying.
I hate that.
It's a weird way of saying that Kenny technically chose Joey to fight. And if Janela won, then they would fight again for the title. So it's just a really weird roundabout.
Really weird thing, especially for a guy that's 5-6 to get this type of opportunity. Like when they do this type of stuff, I'm just like, why even have a bracket system if you're going to let AEW Dark Schlubs go for the title or potentially go for the title?
Well,
but that being said, I agree with you on the match. I didn't have it as my number one. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I think they did something. There's a reason for why he chose Joey Janela, but I can't remember. I feel like I should have looked this up before we started recording. I thought, like, from their last match, Janela didn't win their last match. I guess Kenny must have won. I thought there was, like, a reason why he specifically picked Joey Janela.
I'd almost assume it's because he's a shit heel that's picking someone that's a shit wrestler to then have a match with, which I'm assuming, and that's fine, I guess. I guess that's fine. Even though I don't like the idea of the champions choosing who they face, I feel there should be some sort of, like, call from I like the bracket system. I like the bracket system. But it's a very interesting match. They fought each other. Of course, Kenny gets the win. Throughout the match, Don Callis is doing some form of play-by-play shouting throughout, and Kenny Omega joins in the mix. What are your thoughts on that element?
Oh, God, it was so good. It was so fucking wonderful. So I don't know. I guess we're allowed to swear. I don't know if this is... I've been doing it a lot recently, and I never asked if you were okay with it, but I guess
we don't have children listen to this.
Hey, we don't know how old those Canadian
That's true. There's a lot of
are.
Canadians. And
we could be destroying our fan base.
I'm assuming because... I'm assuming we're good. We've sworn. Give me your best swear, Moet.
Bacon, how old are you? Wait, no, in my swear word, I was just worried. That's my swear.
That's good.
I started thinking that thought before you said your question. Anyways, I liked that Don Callis tried to get into the commentating booth, and then he tried to very rudely force Tony Schiavone out of the booth, and then Tony was like, "Kiss my ass!" And then that scared, that spooked. It spooked Don Callis enough.
Yeah, he
to
got
just grab a mic and just stay away from the booth. I like that a lot.
That was pretty. And one of the things is, I feel like this is I didn't think he did. They did the best job with this gimmick yet. I feel like this has a lot of potential down the road of more stuff like this. This is their first time doing play by play ringside like that. I'm curious. It definitely kept my interest the entire time. I did not look away. And I liked the match, too. I actually liked how short it was.
I liked it because a lot of AEW matches, majority are back and forth, 50-50 almost, you could say. And so I was worried when I saw this because Kenny needs to be getting on this, like, if he's a heel, he needs to be pushing this, like you know, like, mega heel status. He doesn't take this kind of crap anymore. So I was worried that when they announced this match, it would be a 50-50, and it would, like, kind of kill this momentum. But not only is it not that match, but he completely humiliates Janela. Janela, he gets a moment or two in AEW standard, but it's I think it's humiliating the way that he got on the mic and just was so confident that he could talk his way through the match. And it was great. Yeah.
It was smartly booked because one of the things is like you said, they make everything competitive, which doesn't make sense most of the time. You know, someone like Kenny Omega should squash Joey Janela. The only reason Joey Janela should get any offense is with weapons because he's a hardcore specialist. So it made sense. Any offense he did get made sense because he knows how to work a weapon more better than Kenny Omega, but Kenny Omega's fucking Kenny Omega. So that's the good stuff. But then after the match, they beat that. And then Pac comes out with Phoenix and Penta, and they're going to have a match. He said that Phoenix was never beaten for that big tournament that happened this past winter fall. And so they're going to have a match in 2 weeks against each other, which I'm pretty excited about.
Do your best Pac impression.
Okay. Oh, well, you haven't beaten Phoenix yet. You haven't beaten...
I was never beaten! Mr. Kenny Omega! Sorry,
Can you put your voice over Pac's head with that warped mouth thing that you do?
Oh, for sure.
Can you do that? Because that is a really funny gimmick. You doing your voice, you just did that. Yeah, exactly. over Pac just with a warped head that we did for...
I love that, that's one of the funniest things.
Check out our YouTube, Loser Lee's Wrestling at YouTube, for all that fun content that Bowen's been messing around with. So they're gonna have a match. We're excited about that. Good main event, well done. That was on my woos as well. Moat, what's your next big woo of the evening?
I feel like I could have done all of that. I broke that down into five because this episode sucked. I hated it. It was nasty bad. It was so bad. Let me tell you. So everything else is, I wrote some stuff down.
Okay.
But not happy with it. I'm going to tell you that. But let's, for the sake of a show.
Before we continue with your next woo, hard disagree. I like the show a lot.
Well, that's why we disagree on a lot.
This is why this is a podcast, because we have sharp opinions. What's your next big woo?
Let's go with the Hangman. The Hangman Page.
Hell yeah.
That was my biggest woo. And the Hungy. I love that name. It's so, so good.
That's very funny.
The good, the bad, and the Hungy. They wrestled some people. Who cares? Who cares who they wrestled? I don't even remember who they wrestled.
Party.
Yeah, who cares? They won. They won the match. Whoever got the pin. I don't care. But all eyes were on the Hungy Party, if you will.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, all eyes. The whole story was on them. The close-ups throughout the match when John Silver would do something. Close-ups on Hangman Silver.
Is his smile?
Just kind of smirking, a little smirk, you know? Yeah. And just like, he's enjoying Silver. It felt like a little romance. I think I want to see Hangman Page go on a date with John Silver. And I think they're going to have the greatest time. I think John Silver is such a good date.
Moet, this is your next video. Just to show them on a date together using, like, clips and their heads folding. Just use Golden Girls, a scene where they're on a date and put their heads over each other.
We could do that. Because John Silver cares about Hangman Page. He did his research. Hangman Page is a cowboy. So therefore, wear a cowboy hat. He knows what Hangman likes. And he was trying to impress him. And even though they lost the match, you could tell this story is still going on. Hankman's not out completely.
It's and one other thing is that the great story throughout, and even though you're not a fan of the Hardy Party, I actually dug it, because the thing is, this is the best Hardy's looked all of AEW. In a long time, where he's it was good to have him in a tag team match where he could just show what he could do well, which he's a good striker, and he's smart. He's a smart wrestler, if not a very mobile one. And the only thing I don't like is that they got the win, because I like the idea of Hangman, Silver, and Reynolds kind of having this like wow, we got some chemistry together. Like, I wanted to see them be like, wow, we got a win. How did that happen? Because they were doing some cool double team moves, all this fun stuff. But yeah, they got the win.
My bad. I was gonna say, I think they should have won. I just wanted to jump on what you were saying. I think they should have won for the story. I think it would have made a little bit more sense if they won to continue the Hangman becoming integrated into Dark Order storyline, which is what I'm assuming they're going for. So I don't really know what this does for Matt Hardy and his party, and I don't know what this does for the Hungy team, but you know, it is what it is. This is what they chose.
I don't know if they're trying to have them break up. Like, this is the first time in a while, this match, it's the first time I've liked Matt Hardy in a while, and they're already breaking him up with his team, and I'm just like, they don't know what they're doing. They have no consistency.
They're breaking them up? What do you mean?
Because he tagged in, fake tagged in, or what is it, blind tagged in to get the win. So he Cassidy, I believe, did his special move, and Reynolds was down, and then he blind tagged in, got the pin.
Oh, I saw that. I just didn't know. I guess I didn't take it as like a potential breakup moment. They were building it up from the Battle Royale, the Diamond Ring Battle Royale, where Matt Hardy tossed out one of the guys, but it was off camera, for God's sakes. Like, they didn't catch it on camera, idiots. Yeah, so the more idiotic thing is that they're continuing the storyline without even showing it or talking about it. It's very bad all along.
It's very bad. It's very bad. Well, we're on the same page somewhat so far. Let's see if we get another woo going, Moet. What do you got?
I didn't write that far in advance. I'm looking at my thing. Hey, but I'm a professional, okay? Make this up. I can vamp for as long as I need and look at another thing. And I'm going to say the women's match.
Women's match. Yes. Okay, women's so the match. Tag team?
Yeah. We got who are Serena Deeb, Big Swole was in it, and then Diamante and Ivelisse.
Yeah.
It was fine, right? This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, right? Everything sucks after this. How can I pick from a pile of crap?
There were some little things in there. In terms of the match, my thing is, I just feel like it felt a little... Well, I've noticed more and more about Diamante and Ivelisse. They seem to get frustrated when they mess up, and then they end up messing up more. It feels like their timing's off. Like, Serena Deeb is infallible. She's flawless. Swole is a little... Like, there were times when Swole whipped someone in the corner and they both kind of just stopped and waited for a second. There was a lot of, waiting for someone to do something, which was distracting to me.
Interesting. Was this on your what?
No. It was in my middles. There's a lot of middles for me. There's a lot of things that I didn't even talk about. Like, the 12-man tag, I didn't even talk about. It was just there. It was just
necessary. I thought I was going to hate it, and I didn't like it.
Did not hate it. I was so ready to hate it, but wait, who was it? Wardlow was sick, or Wardlow had some issue, and they just cut it down to it was a 14 man, and then they made it to 12.
Why don't we switch this up a little bit? Why don't you tell me your woo?
Okay, I'll give you some woo.
You seem excited.
I got Cody versus Angelico. You poop that out of your mouth and put it back in.
Put it back in. But I don't care, Red.
It was such a good match. It was such a good match. It was Cody versus Angelico. Cody got the win with... first thing, it wasn't a super long match. It was a solid 10-minute match that made Angelico look amazing. Cody got the win in a good fashion with a move that wasn't his usual move. It was his springboard cutter. Which Angelico sold like $1 million. It was a beautiful, fast-paced match. My only issue with it is the ending, which we'll talk about in our what's, which I'm sure we're both going to talk about Sting.
Oh, that ending. Yeah,
we're going to have to talk about that.
The ending of the match. I don't know what you mean.
No. I thought the match was super tight. You did not like it at all?
It was fine. It was fine. But actually, the way you explained it, it was actually kind of putting up some ideas in my head. Like, it is actually nice because Angelico is like a sort of a mid-card heel character, so you should be able to finish with a mid-card, yeah. A signature move.
Yeah.
That, you know, isn't your best finisher. It's, yeah, it's kind of in the middle. But like, that, it's like a mid-card,
what
you know?
I miss about that is, like, that's some stuff that how it used to be. Like, different types of moves could finish a match. And yeah, so I'm excited that it's not just finishers, but also they're not ruining, like, nobody kicked out of the Crossroads, you know? He did a different move that got the win. It was a surprise. I was surprised by it. I felt excited at the end of the match. So I'm excited for, and plus I love Angelico. I love Angelico so much. Angelico and Jack Evans could do no wrong in my eyes. They've done no wrong so far in their AEW run. They've tried really hard.
Yeah.
They're good triers.
I like watching them dance. I like watching Angelico dance
around. They're dancing. I really love their dancing. And Angelico, everything he does, he knocked Cody down, and then he just swiped his big flop of hair across his face.
It's so ugly. It's a very bad haircut.
It's a bad haircut, but it makes me love him so much more because he's so proud of his bad haircut.
He's so proud. He's so confident that he has a good haircut. Oh. Yeah. Which is charming, isn't it?
It's delicious. Malt, what's your next big woo?
I loved the SCU versus Acclaimed match. I loved, what's his name?
Kaz?
Kaz's
rap?
Kazarian. Yeah, thank you, actually. Frankie Kazarian. His rap was delightful. It felt like two drunk dads at a barbecue arguing over their kids, over their shitty music. I'm like, the rap is crap. I'll tell you what. And he starts rapping with them, and I loved it. They're so old and out of touch, but they're trying. And somehow they're supposed to be the good guys in this. And it was just delightful, the whole scenario.
Yeah, so SCU fought the Acclaimed, and Acclaimed comes out, and they do their rap, where they just say some nonsense. And it's never, ever really good rap. It's always kind of very mediocre, but Kaz doing his retaliatory rap, it reminded me of John Cena versus Kurt Angle when Kurt Angle did his rap back. And the fact is, it wasn't good. Kaz wasn't good, but just the fact that he did it and he had so much fun being an old man doing it, like, it was very heartwarming. It was very sweet. And that was almost in my woos. That was almost in my woos. It got edged out by two other segments that I can't wait to talk to you about.
Is MJF in one of them?
Yes.
Of course he's in one of them, the little rascal.
He is a rascal, because he called the Inner Circle sexy hooligans, Moen. He called them sexy hooligans. He comes out to just talk about his award, and then Chris Jericho's like, oh, you didn't do it alone. He's just like, he pulls the mic away. He's like, very good point, Chris. Thanks for all your help. And he just moves on, and it's...
We've talked about this privately, I don't think on the air, but like, that's a big moment. We've discussed like how does Jericho the person feel that he wasn't nominated? Like, he's in a fucking band for the last, like, you know, 3 decades of his life, and they don't nominate him for his singing in this musical, but they nominate MJF, who's not known, at least publicly, for his singing.
Do they even mention Jericho in the article, or they just say Dinner Debonair?
Yeah. No, not once. They just say MJF for Me and My Shadow, which is the song that they do.
Beautiful.
And just MJF. So that's like the person Jericho has got to be pissed.
And you know that makes two awards.
At least a little
now.
Jealous.
You know that makes two. Like, so New York Times did two different things on MJF now. They did that one of the best performances of 2020 and one of the best performers of 2020.
What?
Two.
I thought it was just one.
Two. You got to look it up. Well, I have it in my news this week, and the news you can't lose. You should check it out. News you can't lose. Make sure to listen to us on Apple Podcasts and review us. Review us. I see your... It's building, Moet. Each week it's building, which I'm so thankful for all you listening. Thank you all so much in Canada and Spain, Moet. Spain. We're growing big in Spain now.
That's great. I really want someone from Canada to email us.
They will,
Moet. I want to talk to a Canadian.
Please email us at loserleavespod@gmail.com. Give us some questions. Ask Moet anything you want. It's Moet's mailbag. So next up, what's your next? Do you have another woo? Or is that the last of your woos? I got a real nitpicky woo.
Miro's promo was fun.
Okay, talk to me about Miro's promo.
What did he say? He said humbug.
He said he didn't like Christmas. Oh, yeah. So Miro is explaining his beef with Orange Cassidy. He does a terrible job of doing it. He doesn't really. It's a very lack of semblance or any kind of cohesion. And then they said something about Christmas. He's like, a humbug, bah humbug Christmas. It's my birthday.
It's his birthday on Christmas.
And he's promoting Penelope Cruz and Kip Sabian's wedding announcement. So I don't know what they're promoting. Is it the wedding? I'm not sure.
They don't know either. They just have to say something on air. Yeah.
And then he said, it was very funny, bah humbug. That's like, they have to isolate the things that make Miro great and take away all the other fluff. He should not be I want him to get comfortable on mic. What they should do is put Miro on dark in the announcer booth. They should put him, have him have a couple matches where he just announces, gets comfortable with this character, because it worked great for Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks got comfortable real fast on Dark. One of the best promos. He's one of the best promos on TV right now. And I feel that doing it with Peter Avalon, and he needs some work. He's getting there.
He's great on the mic when he has like a quick like speech to give, but I think commentary you gotta have improv skills.
Helps. But that's like boot camp. So put Miro in there for a little bit, get some quips in there, have him be funny, so that when he's doing these promos, he doesn't sound so rambly.
But it's sort of why I love the promo so much, and why it's like the most memorable part of the show to me. At the top, because it's so bad, but he's just committed to this badness the whole time. It reminds me of like an 80s crappy pro wrestling promo that everybody did at that era.
He's a jock that just quotes Futurama all the time. That's him as a person. He has like, he likes nerdy things, but he's a jock, so he says them in a jock way, and he's kind of pissed off at everyone else for which I don't hate, but I think it needs fleshing out. Fair?
Oh, no, I agree, and I think actually his character is terrible. I hate the gamer gimmick. I hate a gamer gimmick for anybody. That should not be a freaking gimmick in pro wrestling. It just, you can't do that because for a large number of reasons. You can't.
That's like having a football player gimmick or a hockey gimmick. That's a completely different focus, and I feel like takes away. I don't think there should be the goon. I don't think there should be. You disagree?
No. Well, this is what I'm thinking. I wasn't going that way. I was.
I think they're in the same world. I feel like being a gamer is its own thing entirely. That has its own following. And I like the idea of using gamer-isms. Like him saying game over, I'm fine with. Him using nerdy things that he says because he hears it on Twitch, I'm fine with. But him being like, I have a video game and I'm going to play my video game on the side of the thing. And then you break my video game? Oh, I'm going to break you. Like, that's too much.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with that. But the way I saw it, my problem was like to be a video gamer as a gimmick is like you're an everyman. It's what you're essentially saying because everyone loves video games now.
Sure.
It's not even special anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that's what I'm thinking is like, oh, you're like relatable. Like I love video games, and you know, I'm also into Gucci. That's like a weird part of it that I don't think a lot of people can relate to. You know, but like
that's like someone who likes to take walks in the sun, or someone who likes fresh air. Like that's a gimmick.
I love that's my Tinder profile. How'd you know what I like? Walks in the sun. I like fresh air. I love Gucci.
I would love to see you head to toe in Gucci.
But then I thought, you know, like I don't think everyman type characters can work. But then you have Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is 100% an everyman character, that a guy that wants to beat the shit out of their boss. So I don't know. I think I need to dig deeper into why I don't like the gamer concept. Something just feels very off about it.
It's because it seems forced right now.
Maybe it just seems very forced.
And he's trying to throw himself in there rather than just be himself, which is a nerd. Let yourself be a natural nerd rather than forcing things. I did not have that in my woos. My last woo of the evening is FTR interrupting the announce team. I like them coming out. They didn't have promo time in the back. It's almost like they wouldn't give them promo time in the back. So they're just like, I'm going to go out, grab the things, just talk directly into it where it's distorted and sounds shitty. And they say how they're making the tag division. Like, is the tag division a joke already? We're not on the show at all. And now we have to steal time to actually talk. And the best part about it is Tully is always wearing his face covering. Always wearing his face covering. Bless that old man. He does not want to get sick.
He's got a few more months left, and then he can get the vaccine. He'll be okay. Oh, but these few months are few crucial. Months?
No, he's
they're
in
crucial.
The top tier. He's getting into this month. He's so old.
Few months being, you know, being helpful, being conservative. Hopefully he'll get in.
Hopefully he gets it
by
soon.
By tomorrow, for God's sake.
Hopefully his long-term care facility will give it to him. Hopefully. We can only hope. But do you have any more woos, boy?
That's it. I'm so excited to get into the what's. I'm so excited, man.
I'm so excited for you, Moet. What's your big what of the evening?
My biggest what of the evening is Cody being a father. A father figure. That ugly son of a bee being a father with Brandy. Oh, God. What an awful, awful debut for this stupid child. I hate it. I hate it, Red. This is the worst news they could have given us. And in the worst way, they just have to rub it in my face. They have to rub it in my face. They say it. They have a stupid video that lasts so long and so gratuitous, you know? And then they have Brandy walk out with her dumb white dress. And then they have the announcer talk about it. It's too much. You're just rubbing it in my face.
Want to know something funny, Moet? Want to know something funny? I missed that commercial they did for that promo package they did. So I, like, because I sometimes go away for the commercial breaks, I come back and they're like, oh, here's the father. Here's the daddy. And I was just like, this is a new gimmick for him? They're just calling him Big Daddy? And like, it's like, this is weird. Like, I guess he's the daddy of AEW. Like, this is a dumb thing. And I didn't understand until they're just like, and she's walking away. She's got tears around, whatever. And then I got it. Then I missed it. Was it really bad? Was it really bad video?
It was the worst. It was the worst. It was so obnoxious. It was so obnoxious. They didn't need it. They didn't need it. If they were going to announce it as call him the daddy on the show, they didn't need all of that, okay?
It almost feels like they only care about four people on the show. Or be consistent. Like, they just have, like, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and the Bucks. And and everyone else kind of has these gimmicks that filter away. These guys will get commercials just about their day to day. Like, literally.
It's so dumb.
It's pretty dumb. One thing I will say.
No, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
No, just an aside from AW Dark, Britt's waiting room, Britt Baker's waiting room. She's just like, some people don't like to make mistakes on TV. Cody likes to put them on his neck.
That's real good. The only thing I'm going to say, the only good thing about Cody's announcement as a father is in 9 months, we're not going to be able to see Brandy again on TV. And we're definitely not going to see Cody again on TV. He's going to be gone. I'm going to tell you, Red, they're going to be gone on their taking care of their stupid kid. And we're not going to see their stupid dog anymore. They're going to be gone. It's going to be beautiful.
Your irrational hate for Cody is jarring.
Oh, boy. I don't care.
Since when did you hate Cody?
Oh, I've always hated Cody. I've hated his guts. Let me tell you what.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm into this feud restart. Let's go on to the big guns. I like it. I have a question. Is this encapsulating also... Well, I guess this is a different thing. So I did not have Cody's being a father as my what. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought it's fine. I missed the commercial. I missed the commercial, which 100% probably would have made it to my what's. But my first what of the evening, Sting coming out after the match. So Cody Rhodes versus Angelico has this match. And then Taz comes out talking about how he's a big daddy. He's a big daddy. Look at him being a daddy. He's just being very Taz about it. And he's going in to beat down Cody Rhodes, who's tired from a match. And this old man, Arn, who's got a neck injury, could only use one hand. And they're about to beat up a 5-on-1. And then for some reason, a 61-year-old man with a baseball bat does he even the odds, still is outnumbered, and they back away in fear, which I thought was just insulting. It was insulting.
It was awful. You said a very funny text to me. I think you should.
What did I say?
The muscle jerks.
You tell me what I text. Oh.
You said two muscle jerks. You got two muscle jerks in your team. You got two young athletes in your team in the prime of their life. And you got one old judo expert against an old man with a bat. And how
that
the heck...
spray painted black.
That's spray painted black. An old man with a bat that's spray painted black. and they are the ones that get freaked out and walk away very casually. It's very silly. It doesn't work. And plus, yeah, no, I don't know.
It wouldn't have taken a lot just to have Dustin Rhodes and someone else be out there. So then it's a 5-on-4, then Sting comes out. And then it's just like, oh, okay, the odds are stacked against Team Taz. They just look like shit. They look like shit backing away from this not very scary looking old man, which I thought was insulting.
It's not, I guess because last week it was 2 weeks ago in his debut, they immediately bolted from the ring. You don't even see them run. They're just vanished. They just vanished from the ring. And I think that's silly. I think the whole thing is silly, the way they're treating this potential rivalry that makes no sense against Sting. I don't know. Something grabbed me the wrong way, the way they announced Sting's return, that Sting will appear tonight. They have been talking about that all week, and then he's in it for about 30 seconds and probably got, like, you know, fucking $100,000 for that appearance.
And I'm so upset that they just wasted that Taz choking out Cody. They just wasted that. They wasted it so much, and I'm so angry.
They do
that. So angry that I never got a follow-up from that.
They do that a lot. I've just started to notice this, which feels ridiculous because they've been doing it for a year, but they do that. They do really shocking but very exciting things in the moment that they don't follow up on. But the thing is, the next week another exciting, shocking thing happens. So it's just a series of things that just kind of like stimulate you and be like, wow. But you forget what happened before and you just remember the through line enough. They don't worry too much about the details.
It's almost like the difference between watching. It's like Breaking Bad, watching an episode of Breaking Bad, and next week everything's fine again. You know, it's just like no payoff, no anticipation, no buildup. It's like we're watching Dukes of Hazzard, and their car is always fine. Their car is always fucking fine, and it goes off these jumps and smashes up a bunch. I'm so angry that there's no stakes. No stakes in this show. Mo, it's your next big one of the evening. What you got?
Sting was my number two. So the one I said was number three was the dumb Eddie Kingston promo.
Oh, good. We're on the same page there. Purposeless.
Purposeless. Very. I don't even know what he was trying to go for. He's been stumbling a lot in his promos. It makes
me upset. Has he ever had a good one besides the first one, Mullet? Has he ever had a good one?
In AEW, no.
In the
independent circuit, he's been on fire when he was on the indie circuit. Now he stopped, obviously. But, yeah, I think it's just weird because he's had, like, literally decades of goodwill in his indie circuit run. Where, like, it felt like everything, if you were paying attention, which I wasn't, but I've been trying to catch up, it seems like he's been doing incredible work in the indies, and I just be like, well, okay, all right, you know, he's having a bad night, but
how many bad
I don't
nights?
Know how many bad
how
nights
many bad
can
nights
have,
and one know? Of the issue is it's this convoluted family thing. I don't like him having to talk for other people. I don't like him having to explain a storyline that he doesn't even necessarily understand. While he's a passion person, he's not a very smart guy. So why don't you just give him something simple that he could just like, oh, he's having a one-on-one match with someone. He could talk about that. Him talking about the fact that my name's Eddie Kingston and I never lost that battle royale, but I'm here putting my family, my best friend that I hate his brother, and now they hate me. And now I'm friends with these two. Like, it's just so slappy. Slappy, Moet.
What do you think? What is the problem? What is the problem with Eddie Kingston right
now?
It's not Eddie because we know he can do incredible work. It's just something's missing.
It's convoluted storyline that he's expected to explain. The thing is, his storyline has no sense, makes no sense. And they're asking a guy that's used to talking about himself, explain the actions and motives of several people. And then they have him go out there and they only get, and it's weird because they only give him, very short amount of time each time. And he always over talks these ridiculous things. He never gets to the point. He never has a point.
He nails it sometimes. I got to say, every now and he nails it. He's done it.
With Moxley. With Moxley, there were some points.
He did one with the Blade versus, I think it was, no, the Blade versus Pac. He did a great promo that made it feel very important, of like the Blade just got off of the crazy bunkhouse match where he was like bleeding disgusting amounts of blood. But he was just like, you know, the Blade, when he got to the back, he said immediately to me, I have to fight Pac. I got to. And then he just brought up of how much of a fighter he is because of like how he's not going to quit no matter what. And I thought that was so powerful. You know, so he's got his moments. It's just like, I think maybe they're asking too much of him. Maybe there's just not a long-term feud for him to really like grasp, like psychologically. So I don't know. I'm just upset because I know he could do a lot better.
It felt very silly. And also the brawl was terrible there, like with Lance Archer and the Death Triangle and the family. And I don't understand why Lance Archer is friends with the Death Triangle. I feel like that's against character in my brain. I feel like
there are things I agree with you, but there are things I liked about it because they're like, they did have that little moment where Pac and Lance, like kind of, you know, looked at each other and kind of stared at each other down and like, stared at each other down. I want to say
staring
store.
At each other down.
They stored like each other down. How do you, what's the,
they stared into each other's down.
Yeah, that didn't work. That didn't work at all. Hot. I had to just point that out, but yeah, they looked at each other deep longingly into their eyes and they grimaced and they looked real mean. Their frowns explained the whole story. Yeah, of how
it goes against character. I wanted them, as soon as Pac started beating him up and Lance Archer's like, no, he's mine, they should have started brawling, because Pac and Lance Archer wouldn't hesitate to fight each other. They wouldn't hesitate. Like, Pac himself also, I feel like they should just automatically want to fight each other all the time. I would love for that. He seems like a guy he's just a nuke. He just goes into an area and clears house and he doesn't care. He'll lose sometimes, but I like the idea of him just not having allegiances besides Jake. Otherwise, what's the point of Jake?
I agree. I think the justification is that they have a common enemy and they know that it's smarter to be together for now and fight later while they get rid of this common enemy. But
that's
the
issue. Lance Archer should not be smarter than anyone. He's stupid in how much he wants to fight.
I agree with you.
Stupid how much he wants to just, he doesn't care about allegiance. He's just like, I want to hit something.
Yeah, that's what I like about him as well. I think you're right, because the way he acts, the way he walks to the ring, the way he throws these dummy jobbers, like fights them as
he comes out with bodies.
Yeah, that's
out with bodies,
which I love, and I think that should be his ethos. I think that should be the way he react. Like, he should. Yeah, you're right. He shouldn't. Like, my thought was like, oh, he's not gonna hit Pac because he knows the other Death Triangle members are there. They're gonna beat him up, but he shouldn't care about that. He should be fucking ready to fight all of them at once.
Yeah, he's
so you're right. That is messed up.
His actions are in my brain. His actions are similar to a Stone Cold. Like, he'll just like, don't trust anyone. They're all your enemy if they're in your way. And I feel like that, and I understand maybe having a tag, I guess having a tag match with them. But the minute that they beat up someone you wanted to beat up, he should have killed them. Yeah. I guess moving on, because we've got that same one. We're on the same page with Eddie Kingston. What else you got, Moa? You got any more? What's? There's plenty to be had.
What's the next one you have?
Well,
I'm
my
gonna throw it on you. I want to throw
my
it on you.
Main okay. one. I saw a commercial with Scorpio Sky promoting his AEW recap podcast.
Yeah. Part of Rooster Teeth, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty pissed that's some commercials for our competition.
Oh,
not a fan.
Don't get me started about that.
I think that we
Rooster
have a new
Teeth
enemy.
Company.
I think we have a new enemy. This damn Austin-based podcast company, damn Rooster Teeth.
I could fight them because I live in the same city. I can figure out where they live.
Some
and well-placed I can harass them.
Bags of dog do, Moet.
Ooh.
Don't set their house on fire. We can't deal with that.
Yeah,
please,
no, I don't.
Careful.
And I kind of want to work for them someday, so that probably wouldn't work.
Hey, well, I would love for... Moet, get us on the podcast. Maybe we could... we want to work for Scorpio Sky.
No, it's garbage. It's garbage because they took time away from the women's match, the one women's match they have. They got to show this stupid long promo for stupid Rooster Teeth. Man, I'm upset. I'm upset.
What other Moet?
The next Moet what I have, I got Hangman Team losing. We already talked about it. It was dumb. Didn't like it. Ruined the storyline. It was really bad choices all around. The end to the Inner Circle match was awkward and weird. What does that mean, Red?
The end to the Inner Circle match was awkward and weird. Who won that match? Oh, that's right. Because Griff Garrison got knocked. Jake Hager did this weird F5. He was doing the F5, I think, or Wardlow. Someone was doing an F5, but Jake Hager did this weird spinny throw that looked like he fell wrong. And then he goes for a pin, but MJF's like, no, let me. And then Jake Hager tags him in to let him get it. And I think there's some miscommunication because I think MJF was supposed to do a blind tag and take the win, which would have made more sense. But then Jake Hager probably wasn't close enough to the turnbuckle. So MJF never got to tag in, and they had to do it that way.
Because I get the idea in theory that they want to, like, you know, that MJF wants to take a quick win because he's a shit heel. That's his whole thing. But the way they did it was very confusing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It made no sense. And then the aftermath were like, they won the match, but they like kind of cowardly walk up the steps and, you know, they're all beat down. They end up with this weird pose down with Top Flight, which I don't really understand. Like, why did they end up with this pose down? All of Inner Circle versus just Top Flight. We're like, where'd the other members go? I don't know. It's one of those moments in wrestling where, like, I feel like I'm nitpicking, but it's like it's just enough like that ruins the act for me, where it's like,
the only reason you're nitpicking is because you're trying to pick one piece of shit in the big pile of shit. The whole thing was nonsense. Like the whole 12-man tag had a bunch of nonsense, and there shouldn't be that many people in the ring, I don't think. I think it was a waste, honestly. I don't think you're nitpicking because it was nothing. It just felt like nothing.
Because wrestling, if I can be a little bit, you know, a little pretentious, it's like wrestling is most fun. Like movies and theater is when you can kind of, you know, believe that it's real. When you can kind of put your biases aside and be like, yeah, this is actually how these guys actually are hitting each other. It's surprising. It's wrestling, you know. It's
allowing
it's
us to pretend. Let us pretend.
And that's really difficult. It's like a magic gag, you know? It's really difficult to keep that up with an audience. So when one thing goes wrong and you're like, wait, what's up? You can either fix that, right, and keep you going, or ignore it, and then it's just like snowball effect. So like that MJF thing happens and you're like, what? And then the Top Flight thing happens, like, what? And then they get up on the ring and you're like, well, what's happening now? And then you know, even like small things that wouldn't bother me in normal circumstances are like, this is stupid. This is, you know, it's like I realize I'm just a human animal watching a digital TV screen, watching half naked men scream at each other, but they're not actually mad. And who am I to begin with? And what is life? And when am I gonna die?
Whoa, slow down! Stop! I'm gonna go too deep into the dark. Don't go too deep into the abyss. Don't go into the abyss.
Oh Jesus! Thank you.
Chris Parker,
sorry.
Not like that.
I started to, I just blacked out for a second.
I saw your eyes became swirls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very crazy. I didn't like that. I did not like that moment.
Yeah, okay.
Moet, you're back. You're calm. It's AEW, Woos and Watts. This is Wrestling with Red Jefferson and Moet Jazwal.
Oh, I love Moet Jazwal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is good.
I'd splash some cold water and lightly tap your face if I were there.
All right. What other...
I have only one more. It's a broader one. Somehow AEW has made the NWA Women's Championship mean more than the AEW Women's Championship. Serena Deeb has been on every Dynamite the past few weeks, which I'm not mad about. She is the NWA Women's Champion. And Hikaru Shida is having matches on Dark for some reason. And this is my biggest issue. You have Britt Baker, and you have Serena Deeb, you have Thunder Rosa, you have people that you are confident are stars because you put them on the show, right? You put them on your Dynamite show, you're confident they're stars. You're obviously not that confident with Hikaru Shida to put her on Dynamite every week. Then don't give her the title. Don't insult her and the title by just saying, oh, well, we have her women's title and we put it on someone. And look how long she's reigning on the B show. You know, that's insulting. It's insulting. Give it to someone that you care about and make us care about them. Britt Baker should be champion. Thunder Rosa should be champion. Serena Deeb should have both belts. The fact that they care so little about this division, and the fact that Britt Baker's The Waiting Room is on Dark rather than Dynamite, it is one of the best talk show formats. I think it's great. I think she's great. I think Reba, a rebel, I'm not sure her name, is really great too on it. And that should be a small segment on Dynamite rather than Eddie Kingston promo, rather than Scorpio Sky commercial rather than Top Flight saying anything. I feel like they need to have a focus on women's wrestling and specifically their title. Why do you even have a title? Just for the name value?
Right, that's a lot to unpack, what you just said. I guess to start at the top, I actually am okay with this happening ever since they expanded their worldview as a company with Kenny Omega wrestling officially in AAA and also in Impact and like just like where this might be going. They were doing it before Kenny, but just this since this opened up, if they're like very openly announcing all these companies, then the NWA championship should be bigger than the AEW championship. It has more history. It's a I don't know about the women's championship, to be honest, but like the NWA brand has more history than AEW. Nobody gives a shit about the AEW's women's division, unfortunately.
NWA has no clout anymore. They lost it 30 years ago. They haven't been relevant since 1990. They cannot claim to have the best championship. AEW, AEW by default should say, well, the NWA championship is more important than ours too.
There's a lot of sexism involved. There's a lot of frustrating things.
It's sexism.
I agree. I'm not happy with it.
Not caring. Yeah. It just doesn't care about all these women on your roster because you don't give them the new women. They have Ty Conte is great. She's great. What's her name? Layla Hirsch. Great. They have a lot of great names that aren't on the show. They weren't even on Dark this week. They just weren't on Dark.
They barely have storylines. Not to even talk about the ending to that match. The whole schmoz of everyone showing up like that doesn't. It meant really nothing to me because I didn't. I realized I didn't know anyone's character based off. I just know them based off their entrances, essentially. A couple promos, but that's it. It's really just their entrances and how they act in the ring. Is how I get it. Just it makes me really mad to think of how little they care for them.
Yeah. And for some reason, the two best, I think two of the best women's performers that they have, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, are now in a feud together where the central argument is that they think each other's ugly.
Yeah, I did where actually.
She
like
made
that
fun
promo,
of Britt
though.
Baker's nose, and she. I did like that segment. That was a good segment. That was actually. Really close to me in my woos, but then I was just so insulted by the idea that literally all they said is that they're ugly. The other one's ugly.
Yeah, I don't know why Britt attacked Thunder Rosa exactly. Because
she said she had a big nose. Oh, Thunder Rosa said, you took your big nose and stuck in my business, and then Britt Baker started being up. You think I have a big nose? Well, my big nose smells a piece of shit when I see her or something like that. And
I
then
missed that.
She's just like, what's underneath this makeup? Oh, an ugly face, a big ugly face, which was cool because I like the idea of washing away a luchador's makeup because I feel like that's insulting. But just saying that she's ugly and that there's no real story behind it besides you two just saying each other's ugly.
Damn it. Damn it, Red. Damn it. Because I didn't catch that first part about the... I heard the big nose, but I didn't really connect the dots. So I only saw Britt's side, or I only like understood where she was like, the ugly face, and then she looked at the camera and was like, I hope her face didn't break the camera.
That was pretty good. And that was really good. Britt was great.
But then realizing that that's connected... when you connect her with Thunder Rosa said, it's all about like aesthetics, then that's very insulting. You don't men's divisions never do that. They never talk about you hope your ugly face doesn't break the camera. No one ever says that.
The only feud that should start like that is from Pretty Peter Avalon. Pretty Peter Avalon should start feuds just talk about how ugly because that's his gimmick. And if your gimmick is that you're like super beautiful and you only want to work with beautiful people, that's fine. But Britt Baker's a dentist. Thunder Rosa is a lucha libre. Person like they're nothing about their looks.
Yeah, no, that's annoying. You're right. I've 180'd from my thoughts on that promo just from that one connection.
I was fuming at the TV because Serena Deeb, I just hate that the AEW women's champion isn't on the show. And I don't think like, Hikaru Shida, I like her, but I don't think she's the best women's wrestler on the show. I think she shouldn't have the title. I think they should give it to someone that they do like, which is obviously Serena Deeb, Thunder Rosa, or Britt Baker, or Swole, or someone that they care about, but they don't care about her. And I don't know why they're devaluing that title so much, and also the whole division in general. I'm so angry, I'm shaking.
Yeah, I don't know what they can do. I don't know what they can do to make the women's division better. And I think it's gonna be a long time. A lot of what's from us until
a lot
they
of
make
what's,
it
Moet. A good deal of what's. Well, we got, you know what? This AEW was divisive. It was polarizing. But well, next week is some interesting things, which I'm excited about. Dustin Rhodes versus Evil Uno.
Honestly, yeah, I thought about you.
Super excited about that. Because yeah, Dustin Rhodes is a great wrestler. He is a really great wrestler. And Evil Uno, he had a match on Dark this week with Stu Grayson versus Bear Country. Have you seen these two?
Yeah, Bear Country. Yeah, yeah. They're good. They're big. Big on the indies.
But they're big guys. And
big bears.
And Evil Uno got one up in a gory special. He picked him up. He had him in the gory special. I just love Evil Uno. He is such a talent, and I can't wait to see the match. Is there anything else going on next week that matters?
I don't know. I can't think of anything. They'll surprise us. They'll do some things.
Yeah, they'll give us some more surprises that we'll be super excited about and then very disappointed the following week. But this has been the Woos and What's of AEW. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling. And please make sure to follow us on Loser Lee's Wrestling and freaking YouTube and on the podcast and Loser Lee's Pod at Gmail. Make sure to review us.
Please.
Make sure to review us.
You got to review us.
And if you review us and you put your name and then email us saying that you reviewed us, we're going to bribe you with a special surprise.
Oh.
We don't know what it is.
Oh, but it'll happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, we're going to bribe you so good. We'll bribe
every
one of you. Any single review we get. Any
what?
Single review.
Just give
we
us
get.
One.
I don't even
give
care
us
it's a
one
bad
review.
One anymore. I don't even care it's a bad one.
We'll give you something special.
We'll give you something special. thank you all so much for watching the Loser Lee's Wrestling, listening to Loser Lee's Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson.
This is Moet Jaswal.
Moet Jaswal, if you were Angelico's haircut, what would you say to Angelico?
Hey, Angelico, stop fucking around, man. You're ruining my day.
Yeah, you're ruining his haircut's day. Bye, everyone. Thank you all so much. Oh, boy.